This is an audio archive edition of WINA's Charlottesville Right Now with Coy Barefoot, made available online by the Charlottesville Podcasting Network, sevillepodcast.com.
It is a tremendous honor to welcome to this program Colonel Jack Jacobs, a recipient of the Medal of Honor, and just one of the many recipients of the Medal of Honor who are profiled in this new book, Medal of Honor, Portraits of Valor Beyond the Call of Duty. Colonel, it's great to have you on the program.
Thanks for asking me.
This is a gorgeous book, and I urge everybody listening to get this book, because not only is it a big, beautiful coffee table book, this new edition also has a DVD.
Yeah, a lot of people don't know about it, but secreted in a little sleeve on the inside back cover is an hour and a half DVD that has interviews with a lot of the recipients who are in the book, some of whom have already passed away since the book was put together.
Tell us about some of these men that are profiled along with you for their tremendous service and just fantastic examples, the very best examples of service to one's country and courage and tremendous sense of duty.
Well, when I received my award, there were 450 living recipients. That was 40 years ago. The first dinner I went to, we used to get together every other year, and we get together every year now. The first dinner I went to, my table mates were Commando Kelly, who was the first recipient in the European theater in the Second World War, Pappy Boyington, you remember, Bob, Black Sheep.
Right.
And Eddie Rickenbacker, the ace from World War I, and there was still a living recipient from the Boxer Rebellion in 1900, the guy who charged the Citadel at Beijing and planted the American flag on top of the parapet. Well, they're all gone now. And a couple of years ago, some public-spirited citizens, many of them from Smith Barney of Citibank, decided that statistically we would all be gone very soon, and it's vitally important to get our stories down as quickly as possible, get these oral histories down. And the book is the result of that. There's splendid pictures by Nick Del Calzo, who's an award-winning photographer, and Peter Collier wrote all the copy. Pro bono, a slug of the profits goes to the Medal of Honor Foundation. In any case, so now they're in the book are 122 recipients. We only have 109 now. One of whom died today, retired Rear Admiral Gene Flucky, who was arguably, I would probably argue with anybody that he, until he died, was the most highly decorated American serviceman, certainly in modern times. He received the Medal of Honor. He was a submarine skipper of the USS Barb, and also had four Navy crosses, the second most prestigious combat decoration. He sank more tonnage than anybody else in the Second World War and reinvented submarine warfare. In addition to everything else, was the only skipper of a submarine to destroy a train. He landed on the mainland of Japan, the only American force to do so during the Second World War, sent a demolitions party ashore, and they blew up a Japanese train, and they scooted back onto a submarine, and off they went. a huge risk to themselves. A really fabulous creature, and he just died today. But there are lots of other stories that are like that. They're very, very inspiring. I'm reminded of one of the recipients in the book, a guy named Jack Lucas. Do we have a little bit of time? I don't want to commandeer.
You go right ahead, sir. I'm all ears, really.
There was a guy named Jack Lucas who enlisted in the United States Marine Corps just after Pearl Harbor, except he was born in 1928. You don't have to be a math whiz to do the calculation. He was 13 years old. He lied about his age. He was a little bit bigger than the average kid, had gone to a military prep school and knew how to say yes, sir, and no, sir, and make his bed. And when he got out of boot camp, he had been so good that they made him an instructor at the age of 14. By the time they figured out who he really was and how old he really was, he'd got himself aboard a ship headed for the South Pacific, and on Iwo Jima, he threw himself on two hand grenades. He managed to survive, and after getting out of the hospital, he spent a lot of time in the hospital, He went to the White House, received the Medal of Honor from President Harry Truman. Harry Truman was very fond of telling recipients when he put the award around their necks that he would rather have that medal than be President of the United States. And in all of his guileless adolescence, the now 17-year-old Jack Lucas, the youngest recipient since the Civil War, told the President of the United States, "Well, that sounds like a pretty good deal, Mr. President. I propose we swap." He says to this day that he thought he would have made a better president than Harry Truman, but then Jack Lucas is a Republican in any case. So.
Colonel Jack.
This book's loaded with stories like that.
Colonel Jack Jacobs is my guest, and the phone lines are open, 977-1070. If you've got a comment or a question about the Medal of Honor recipients, Colonel Jack Jacobs, of course, recipient of the Medal of Honor for his service during the Vietnam War. I read your story in here. It is a miracle, truly, that you're alive today. And I mean, it's just unbelievable what you faced over there.
Well, I'm not alone. You know, you ask any recipient, he'll tell you the same thing. And I think, indeed, if you ask anybody in uniform or anybody who has ever worn a uniform and has an award of any kind, he'll tell you the same thing. Doesn't wear the award for himself. He wears it for all those who can't, who didn't come home, who did things to defend the Republic and nobody saw him, or somebody saw him and that person got killed. We've had tens of millions of people wear the uniform of the United States and put us in a position that we are today, that we are free. And we're free because of all these people. So I don't, and none of the other recipients, I don't wear the medal for myself. I wear them for everybody else who's not here to talk about it.
Absolutely. It's a great point, and it's something we need to remind ourselves, not just on Memorial Day, but we have July 4th coming up. I mean, every day we should stop and remember these men and women who laid down their lives for this great country.
Well, we're very lucky to have been just a stroke of an accident, a birth, to be born in a country that's free, and lots of people died and suffered to make us free, and I think we owe this nation, this flag, this freedom, a little bit of a contribution too.
Colonel Jack Jacobs is my guest. He's one of the men profiled in the new book, Medal of Honor, Portraits of Valor Beyond the Call of Duty. It's a new expanded edition of a New York Times bestseller that includes a 90-minute DVD. The phone lines are open at 977-1070. Hennessy is on the line. Hennessy, thanks for the call. You're on with Colonel Jack Jacobs. Go right ahead.
Thank you, Colonel Jacobs. I really wanted to express my appreciation for you coming on the air today.
Well, it's my pleasure.
I think that the lessons you're talking about as far as people just becoming, you know, almost like superhuman through military service is a lesson lost on today's generation.
Well, we forget sometimes how difficult it is to maintain freedom. I think almost every human endeavor is pretty much the same. It's easy to start something. It's difficult to hold on to it. It's true in the military life. It's lots easier to grab an objective than it is to hold on to it. It takes lots more resources. Business is the same way. Marriage is the same. It's easy to get married. It's tough to stay married. You got to work at it. Anything worth having is worth sacrificing for, and unfortunately, it's not easy, and you've got to work very, very hard at it. We forget that sometimes. We get complacent. We're thousands of miles away from very difficult areas, and sometimes we forget that that freedom has a cost, and we have to be forever vigilant, and if nothing else, remember those who sacrificed for us.
Amen. I applaud you. Thank you very much.
You're welcome.
Hennessy, thanks so much for the call. We've got a line open at 977-1070. If you've got a comment or a question, or you just want to say thank you to Colonel Jack Jacobs, he's one of the men profiled in this new expanded edition of the New York Times bestseller, Medal of Honor.
And hey, absolutely. I got another story. We got a minute?
Yes, absolutely, sir. Go right ahead. Yes, sir.
Yeah, unless we've got somebody on the line?
We don't right now. You go right ahead.
Let me talk about one of the guys whom I know. I know all these guys quite well, but there's a fellow who recently received the award just a few years ago, and his name is Ted Rubin. Ted Rubin was a teenager, and he was in a concentration camp, Mauthausen concentration camp, freed by Patton's Third Army, and he swore that if he survived, he would come to the United States, become a GI, and pay the United States back for saving his life. He did that in 48, joined the Army, wound up in Korea. His company commander, First Sergeant XO, didn't like him. They kept sending him out on terrible missions, and he would accomplish them, come back, and he would just keep coming back. A terrific soldier. Well, eventually, he sent him out almost by himself to defend the entire unit while the rest of his unit withdrew. He was wounded and captured by the Chinese and wound up in a Chinese POW camp with a bunch of other Americans. He kept sneaking out of the camp and sneaking back in, having stolen food and medicine to treat his fellow prisoners. And he received the Medal of Honor he had been recommended for the Medal of Honor four separate times, but they conveniently lost the paperwork. He finally got it 2 years ago. I went down to the White House to attend the ceremony and met a number of the men whose lives he'd saved and talked to them in the White House just before the ceremony. And one of them in particular, I remember with tears in his eyes, pointed to Ted, who's now, you know, almost 80 years old. He said, "That man saved my life." And he would put worms and maggots on a bad wound that he had on his arm. Not only saved the arm, but saved his life. And he asked Ted, where did you learn that? He said, "I learned that in a concentration camp." All of the survivors of the concentration camp and some of the people who were still around from his unit rallied, got together and petitioned the government and said, "Where is Ted Rubin's Medal of Honor? He saved my life." They all said that, and it was awarded to him 50 years late, 2 years ago.
Colonel Jack Jacobs is my guest, and he's profiled in the new book, Medal of Honor. It's a new expanded edition of a terrific New York Times bestseller. It includes a 90-minute DVD, and this is the gift that you want to give your loved ones for 4th of July. Every home should have this on their coffee table. It is a gorgeous book. Colonel, I could listen to you all day. Can you share some more stories of some of these men who are also profiled in the book with you?
Well, sure. I mean, there are lots of fabulous stories. As Clarence Sasser was in Vietnam. I think he was in the 9th Division down in 4th Corps where I was my first tour. I wasn't in my unit, but he was not all that far away. I think this was during Tet of 1968, the big Tet Offensive. He was a medic, and he spent in one particular operation, himself wounded, shot shrapnel, shot again, more shrapnel, wounded many times, crawling around the battlefield, with absolutely no regard whatsoever to himself, taking care of and saving the lives of all of his comrades. And if you talk to him, you say, "Clarence, what possessed you to do all of that stuff?" And he said, "I thought my job was to take care of the guys, and that's what I was going to do, even if I died doing it." And he stopped taking care of the guys only when he became unconscious from loss of blood. I mean, that's one tough guy. He's alive today to talk about it, but he represents all that's best among Americans.
Recipient of the Medal of Honor, Colonel Jack Jacobs is my guest. We were talking during the break before we went on the air about I was just sort of sharing with you my feelings that I don't think our country does enough for our veterans, and I'm one of those folks that would like to see perhaps a new GI Bill and just pull out all the stops and make more opportunities available to these men and women who are willing to step up and answer that call to duty. You were telling me a little bit about the original GI Bill back in the 40s.
Yeah, it's the law of unintended consequences. By the way, a GI Bill is a great idea. And it's not like we have a bazillion veterans. We only have 1.6 million kids who are defending all of us, a country of 300 million people. It's about one-half of 1% of America's in uniform, very much different than the Second World War. Well, the Second World War is coming to an end. And the government was trying to figure out what the effect was of demobilizing 17 million people and throwing them into the workforce. And it came to the conclusion that it would have a terrible effect, negative effect on the economy, which was already shaky from the Depression. And then we went into the war, spending a lot of money, all debt financing. It was going to be very, very difficult on the economy. We're liable to go back into another Depression. So somebody in the government, and I don't know who it is, had a brilliant idea. "Look, why don't we do this? We'll have this GI Bill. We'll send these people to college. We'll just print money. It's not like it's a lot of money, and we print it anyway. We'll just print money in order to pay the tuition and a small stipend for the, all these returning veterans to go to college. And that will delay for, you know, 3 or 4 years the negative impact of having all these returning veterans come on the economy. Well, in the law of unintended consequences, they couldn't have decided on a better course of action if they'd sat around and thought about it and did it on purpose. Because what happened was not only did it take these people out of the job market and make it a little bit more difficult and give some breathing room, but it educated, I mean really educated, an entire generation of Americans. And all the prosperity that occurred in the 50s when I was growing up, late 40s and 50s, and all the way to today could be traced all the way back to that decision to send all these returning veterans to college. They did the right thing for the wrong reason, but it turned out to be great for all of us.
What a story. That's just amazing. Hey, before we go, we got time for one more story of a Medal of Honor recipient, if you have one to share.
Yeah, I mean, there are lots and lots of them, but one of them that comes immediately to mind is Joe Marm, originally from Pennsylvania. I think he lives down in North Carolina now. He was one of the troops. He was a lieutenant at the time. You remember the book, We Were Soldiers Once and Young?
Yes.
By General Hal Moore, who at the time was Lieutenant Colonel Hal Moore and was the battalion commander in that book, and then subsequently portrayed by, what's his face? I can't remember who it was in the movie. Mel Gibson.
Mel Gibson, that's
in the
right.
Movie. He was in that battle, Joe Marm was, as a lieutenant, and found his unit was completely cut off, and the only way they could get out of there was to go across open terrain, and the enemy was raking the open terrain with machine gun fire, small arms, automatic weapons, absolutely impossible. The only way they were going to get to do it was for somebody to just go across and attack the bad guys, and Joe decided it was going to be he. He grabbed some hand grenades, made sure that his weapon was off safe, and he charged across about 40 or 50 yards of open terrain. All the enemy's bullets trained on him. He got wounded, but he managed to get to the trench line where the bad guys were, and he eliminated them, and making it possible for the rest of his unit to survive. There are lots more stories like that. I can go on forever, but you got to get the book. Like you said, it's a fabulous gift.
Absolutely. Colonel Jack Jacobs, Medal of Honor recipient. It has truly been an honor, sir, and happy 4th of July.
Hey, same to you and same to all your listeners, too.
This interview will be archived in its entirety on the Charlottesville Podcasting Network, cvillepodcast.com.
You've been listening to Charlottesville Right Now with Coy Barefoot. Charlottesville Right Now is broadcast live Monday through Friday on News Radio 1070 WINA from 4 to 6 p.m. Best-selling author and historian Coy Barefoot is the host and producer. To interact with Coy and his guests, you can call 434-977-1070. Coy can be reached at barefoot@wina.com. This audio download has been made possible by the Charlottesville Podcasting Network. Visit cvillepodcast.com for more.